work at our missionary training center in the state of Missouri. Some people call it misery because of the weather. Like when we left 10 days ago, it was already 90 degrees. That'll stay going up to 100 plus in the next few weeks. So I'm glad we're out of it for a bit anyway. But anyway, so our students have a two-year training program where we are. Rosemary does works with them in the classroom. A lot of practical stuff they learn for to be on the field, and then I work with the students in an afternoon. They work all morning in the classroom, then they come and do work detail, what we call work detail, in the afternoon. And I work with them in the afternoon, teaching them practical skills, i.e. how to use a hammer. There's quite a few of them have never seen a hammer. Most of them only know how to do this. And so it gets quite interesting at times when we try and show them how to do woodwork and stuff like that. We also do plumbing and mechanics as well, just to give them some idea of how to get by when they're on their own on the field. The teachers in the PAL, we work with them at the school. They've been through the school with us, and so it's exciting to see them actually teaching the people there in their village and coming to know the Lord. How many new works, new starting to teach? Right. We've got about 20 different tribal groups that are getting ready to either start teaching or they've started teaching. And we've just had, I think it's 4 dedications of Bibles this year already. So, sorry?
That was in May.
Yeah, that was in May. So it's, you can see the Lord's working, without a doubt. You know, we get all this bad news on the television and everything, and yet the Lord is still in the business of saving souls. And so it's exciting to see this going on. We work mainly, well, we work like a 40-hour week, but it never works out at the 40-hour week. It's always more. But we enjoy the students. They keep us on our toes. We get some interesting characters sometimes, and they make life interesting, to say the least. But it's really good to see, just to watch the Lord over the 2 years, watch the Lord working in their lives and just moulding them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We really, really enjoy it. For those of you who know our family, our son lives about 5 hours away from us. And so we get to see him every now and again. Our daughter lives in Northern Ireland with her family, and so we don't get to see them so often, but we thank the Lord for Skype so that we can talk to them on that. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 4. We have a team on the maintenance who I work with. There's about 7 or 8 guys who I work with, and each Tuesday morning we have a meeting. We start early, 7:30, and have a meeting together, a time in the Word and a prayer. And we've just started going through the book of Acts, and we read this chapter a few weeks ago, and just this one part, well, this chapter talks about Peter and John before the Council of the Sanhedrin, and after they'd healed the lame guy. And so here they are standing before the Sanhedrin, and verse 13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had not had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Alright. This really challenged me to think, do people see that I've been with Jesus? Do people see that, have you been with Jesus? Or are we just like the rest of the world? Do we stand out as being different? And it was a real challenge to me. And then, you know, we get so caught up with things and just working or whatever that we don't spend time in the Word, you know. When we was in Africa, at one point I was so busy that I didn't have a quiet time each day. I didn't spend time with the Lord. And I just started to dry up. When you don't spend time with the Lord, you know, it's not only you that suffers, but it's your family, your husband-wife relationship isn't as good as what it should be, your parent-child relationship isn't good, and also when the people that you work with, your relationship isn't good. So what makes the difference then of being a believer who walks with the Lord? Let's look at a few verses and see what it says. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. All right. May God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. Alright? And I wrote in my Bible here, do I know Jesus better and better? Do I know him more and more? Or is it just we're on a level plane? Do I want to know Jesus more and more? Alright? One of the things that should stand out in our lives is the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can go through trials and tribulation, but we can still have that inner peace that God gives us. You know, it's up to us. We can choose not to do that. We can choose not to accept that peace of God. But if we do, what happens? We get that. We radiate the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been through 4 evacuations from the field. And each one is different. I mean, they're never the same. The last one was out of Ivory Coast, and we had no idea how we were going to get out of the country, all right? I was on the contingency committee, so I was meeting twice a day with the rest of the guys who were on the committee, and we were trying to work out how we were going to get out of the country. And it was like, Rosemary says, Robert, you're on a roller coaster. You're going up and down, and that's what it was like. But there was no, you know, even in that situation, we could have peace, that knowing that God was going to get us out of the country. And he did. He ended up sending in an Hercules transport plane from England. It had flown all the way from England to Ghana, to Ivory Coast, picked us up, took us back to Ghana, and then that went off back to England. We were in Ghana. There was a German plane there. They said, you can get on that one. So we got on that one. We flew to Germany, to Cologne in Germany, stayed the weekend in Cologne in Germany, flew from Cologne to Dublin. Somebody picked us up in Dublin and took us up to Belfast, where our daughter lives. All that way, it didn't cost us a penny. Not one penny. One of our missionaries asked the embassy lady on the plane going from Yamoussoukro in Ivory Coast to Ghana, how much is all this going to cost us? And she says, nothing. And so she says, well, why? She says, because you're worth it. But the Lord had got all this worked out even before it all happened. He knew what was needed, and we have no idea how much it all costs, but it didn't cost us a penny. So, you know, the Lord takes control, and it's up to us to rest in his peace that he gives us. Okay, let's look at another verse. Colossians 3, verse 15. Find Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Here we go. Right. And it says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts, for as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. All right? It says there, and let. Again, it comes down to us, doesn't it? You know, what happens when we don't? We end up with an ulcer, don't we, most of the time. And it's not, you know, not very nice. But when we let the peace that comes from Christ rule our hearts, that's the difference, all right? Doesn't matter what situation we're in, we can let it happen for us, can't we? All right, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Just a few pages over. Ephesians chapter 3. This is another area where the Lord wants us to be different to what the world is, all right? Okay. This is Paul's prayer, and I don't know how you pray for people, but I've started praying this prayer for people that we pray for, and just ask the Lord to empower them in his love. But what a, let's see. Okay, let's start at verse 17, all right? I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. All right, let's just stop there for a minute. You know, the trees in Africa are quite different to the ones we get over here. If you look at a palm tree, they're pretty big out here, and they come down a little bit at the bottom, and then the roots go down. If you just dig around that bottom of that palm tree, you can actually push that tree over. There's hardly any roots going deep down into the ground on a palm tree. If you tried to do that with a eucalyptus tree, all right, you'd be pushing forever more because you wouldn't move it. The roots on a eucalyptus tree, it's just one big root and it goes really deep down into the ground. You have a real job to get them out. And then you've got trees that the roots spread out rather than going straight down. And God's asking us to let our roots go down into the soil of God's marvelous love. Are we allowing it to do that? Are we willing to let our roots go down? When they do, when a wind comes, when anything comes, we can stand, can't we? Yeah, we'll bend a bit, but we won't go down. All right. We had a stump by our house in Liberia there, and I asked Rosemary's language helper if he could get the stump out for me, just dig it out and get it below ground level. And he says, it'd take maybe 3 days to do it. And so anyway, I said, that's fine. So we agreed a price on what we were going to pay for it. And he set to work, and he worked all day for 3 days, and he was nowhere near it. I mean, he just wasn't getting anywhere with this stump. It was, the root system on it was so big. So anyway, in the end, he came to me, and he said, he didn't use my English name, he used the village name, Taku, he says. There's no way I can get that stump out. He said, the roots are so deep and big down there. And, you know, that's what our roots should be into Christ's love. How much do we love the Lord? We know he loves us. He loved us before we were even born. But how much do we love him? How far would we go for him? And in the end, best man said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And we ended up burning the stump down. And it took us 3 weeks just to burn it. And that was, you know, putting wood on it every day to get it down. But then Paul goes on here, he says, and may you have the power of understanding as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. You know, we can't fathom it, can we? We don't know how wide, how deep, how long. But he wants us to understand the greatness of God's love for us. That may you experience the love of Christ through it so great that you will never fully understand understand it, then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, glory be to God by his mighty power that works in us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forevermore, forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. Paul had an understanding, didn't he, of how much God loved him. And we should try and grasp that, how much God loves each of us. And, you know, it's not just us, it's the rest of the world too, the people in the world. If you go through, we've been going through the Psalms together in our devotions together, Rosemary and myself. And it's interesting how often love comes up in the Psalms. Nearly every psalm has got something about love in it. And it says his unfailing love. So many times in there, it's really an encouragement to go through the Psalms and see that and how much he loves you. Let's turn to John, 1 John chapter 4. And we'll read 10 through 13. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love his love has been brought to full expression through us, and God has given us the Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. All right, so we see again that how much God loves us. We should love one another. When we love one another, we see that the world will see a difference, won't they? You know, how much do we love each other? Do we, you know, you can come in here and two of you may not get on together. One can sit over here, one can sit over here, and they don't talk to one another. And they go out the door, not even, you know, talking to each other. When you live in close community, when you're on a team, like the guys in the PAL, when they work together, they have to get on together. They have to love each other. Otherwise, it just disintegrates, the work will stop. And so we need to love each other. And we can, when we do that, we show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we love each other like it in the power, when we love each other like that, yes, it shows the love of the Lord, but it's showing the love of the Lord to the people too. They haven't even started teaching, but they can show forth the Lord Jesus in the way they live their lives and bring glory to God through it. Okay, let's Let's just turn over the page and 2 John 1, 5 and 6. So now I want to urge you, dear lady, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God commands us, has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as have you heard from the beginning. Again, it's just emphasizing loving one another. How much do we love each other? You know, how much do we care for each other? When we do this, we show forth Christ, don't we? You know, do the people outside in the world see us as Christians? Do they see us as God's representatives? Or are we so intermingled with the world that we don't make any difference? So, anyway, can we show that one at school now? Let's just leave that there, and then we'll show you a DVD of what some of the students say about the training that we do.
During college, I was challenged to consider working among the most unreached, people that would never hear the gospel if I didn't go.
We feel God has raised up the Missionary Training Center to help people understand aspects of cross-cultural church planting. How do I go about this? How do I learn a language? How do I learn this culture? I can't just start with Jesus. I've got to build a foundation. And part of those ministry capabilities are learning how to relate to people who we have nothing in common whatsoever. How to build relationships before we even open our mouths in regard to God, because they're watching that.
The reason I think this training has been effective for me, even though I've had field experience, is they've geared it to be so practical.
Well, being raised on the mission field as an MK, I was able to see just the importance of the gospel being presented in their own language, and then also the need to understand how to work with coworkers.
If a person does not really have a strong foundation biblically, and they're secure in their relationship with the Lord, then it's doubtful that they're going to stay year in, year out. And so we try to prepare them for all those potential issues that they're going to face, and we realize when all is said and done, their individual personal relationship with the Lord is very, very key to them staying.
So it's important that you get good training here so that when you get over to whatever country the Lord takes you to, that you use the resources that he gives you, you use your time most efficiently.
Going into New Tribes training is incredibly beneficial and helpful. It prepares you in a number of levels, not just intellectually, but it prepares you spiritually, it prepares you emotionally.
Your goal is to build a church that will survive, that will thrive and still hold true to the teachings of Christ even after you leave, and it will multiply itself.
Having gone through the training, it's really a time of maturing, a time of counting the costs. And we're being taught by awesome men, awesome women who have been out there.
Being here, being able to build relationships with the staff has been incredible. The discipleship that happens, learning from their life experiences and how the Lord used them, especially through difficulties.
The length and the breadth and the depth of the training you get with New Tribes, if you're going to work with unreached people groups, is really essential.
The purpose is to get a mature church, a church that's alive, that's reading the Word of God, in love with the Word of God, in love with the Lord.
We've seen the cause of taking the gospel where it's never been as a compelling driving force, and we wouldn't change giving our lives to do that.
Lady who was all in black and a big wig on. She gets all dressed up. They do what we call cultural acquisition, where they have to learn how to ask the right questions for the when they're doing language helper or cultural helper. And Rosemary gets dressed up. And that part of the course runs for 6 weeks, and she gets dressed up maybe 13 times. So that's just part of the thing. I wouldn't like to meet her as a cultural helper. She is hard with them. I mean, she puts them through the mill. She goes totally out of normal character into a Dobu character. The culture that they learn is one in Papua New Guinea, and Rosemary actually has a lady on Facebook now who is a Dobu person in Papua New Guinea. She works at a bank there, and she's able to talk to her if she gets any questions that she can't answer, and she'll go on Facebook and talk to her about it, and this lady will get back to her. Just part of the training, all right? We need to get people ready to go, and that's the whole thrust of our training, is them getting ready to learn a language, teach the people to read and write their own language, do translation, and then teach them. We teach chronologically through the Bible, starting at Genesis 1, going through to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the end of that, like we saw in Nepal, to see believers established. And then the work starts again, teaching the believers and getting them thrilled to get out and reach their own people. Well, let's pray, and then we'll close. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us today. Thank you that love never changes. It's always the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Father, we do thank you for our Savior today too, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that he was willing to go all the way to Calvary for us. And just ask you, Lord, that you'd just encourage us in that love, in your goodness to us, Lord. Father, just instill the need to reach out to a lost world. Father, we thank you for the fellowship here. We pray, Lord, that you'd encourage them as they witness for you, Lord. And just pray that as they reach out, that they'd see fruit for their labors too. Thank you again for all your blessings. Thank you for our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.